Chapter 12. They found Mrs. Pendrake in the breakfast room that the production crew was using as a temporary home base for their equipment. Lexi wasn't surprised to see her snooping around. The woman seemed to be an unabashed busybody. "Hello there." Mrs. Pendrake slid her reading glasses off. They fell to rest on her ample bosom, held there by a chain around her neck. "I was just curious about all this production equipment. It's a whole new world to me. Very interesting." She picked up a pamphlet and handed it to Nan's. "Here's their dossier on the subject." Lexi looked over Nan's shoulder. The pamphlet looked like a copy of old newspaper articles on the 25-year-old legend. One of them had a picture of the tiara, loaded with chunky gemstones. Mrs. Pendrake leaned her wide hips against the desk and crossed her ankles. Her lemon-yellow polyester pants rode up to reveal white socks and white tennis shoes. While her outfit was sharp and well put together, her socks were dingy gray, and her shoes stained reddish-brown at the tips. "That was quite a revelation on the surveillance tapes. I'm not sure about it being a revelation, but it sure was interesting," Ida said. Mrs. Pendrake studied Ida. "You don't believe in ghosts?" Ida shrugged. "I haven't seen any concrete evidence of them so far." "Well, who else could have killed Mr. Bertuccio?" "That's what we're trying to find out," Helen said. Mrs. Pendrake gave them a quizzical look. "Oh, and you think I can help with that?" "We're not sure," Nan said slyly. "We were wondering if you saw anyone out and about on the grounds last night." Mrs. Pendrake looked taken aback. "What do you mean? I went to bed right after dinner last night."
"You did?"
Ida looked at her sideways. "You weren't outside in the garden?"
"No."
Nan's lips twisted.
"Did you see anyone in the house? Anyone near Leonard's room?"
Mrs. Pendrake shook her head.
"No, apparently. I didn't warrant one of the finer rooms upstairs. Mine is on the first floor. I wouldn't have been able to see anyone coming and going from Leonard's room at all." "You live in town here, don't you?" Nance asked.
"Yes, I do. I was lucky enough to get a reservation to stay here, since Leonard thought I would add some local color to the documentary. It was quite an honor."
Mrs. Pendrake's face turned thoughtful.
"That poor man. I do hope he didn't suffer."
"He probably didn't," Nan said matter-of-factly. "If you live in town, you must have known Gloria Lee."
"Well, I knew of her when she was younger. Obviously, she wouldn't remember an old lady like me."
Mrs. Pendrake leaned toward them and lowered her voice.
"She was kind of a wild thing. No one was surprised when she went off to be an actress. She liked to put on airs back then, and I see she still does."
"What do you mean by that?"
"Well, I hate to gossip, but at dinner she made it sound like she hung around with the Wellingtons, when I believe it was more their servants she hung around with. They were a bit of a rough crowd."
"Oh, I see," Nan said.
Mrs. Pendrake was obviously happy to be gossiping, despite the fact that she said she hated to gossip. Lexi knew Nan's was encouraging her. You never knew what kind of good information you could get out of a gossip.
"Well, she always did like money, even as a little girl. Of course she got famous, but I hear her spending was a lot more than she earned."
"Oh, you don't say," Ida said. "I heard she had to sell off a lot of her jewelry."
"Yes, She likes to wear fine clothes, nice jewelry, and those awful shoes. Mrs. Pendrake rolled her eyes. Who could walk around in those things all day?
I used to have shoes like that, Ida said enviously. I can't wear them now because of my bunions. That girl had better watch out, or she's going to end up with feet like mine.
She sure does seem to have a lot of pairs of them, Lexi said. These floors are solid stone. Her feet must be killing her, not to mention the constant clack-clack noise must drive her crazy.
I know it's driving me crazy, Ida added.
And she seems to wear them all the time, Helen said. I've never seen her with tennis shoes or sandals. Mrs. Pendrake narrowed her eyes. Not all the time. Last night I came to the conservatory, and the red stilettos were sitting right there next to the rubber tree. I could hardly say I blame the girl. I'm sure her feet were sore.
So, you didn't see or hear anything last night? Nance asked.
Nope.
And you went right to bed after dinner and stayed in your room?
Yep.
The four ladies exchanged a glance.
Okay, well, thanks for the help.
Nance turned, and they all started out of the room.
You're welcome, though I'm afraid I wasn't very helpful. I just hope you catch the killer, whether it was a ghost or a human. I fear it's not safe around here.
They left the breakfast room and headed toward the foyer. Nance glanced at the pamphlet in her hand, then her eyes went to the ceiling and stayed there as they walked down the hall.
Well, that was enlightening, wasn't it? Ida said.
What do you mean? Helen asked. She said she didn't see anything?
Yeah, and she said she didn't leave her room or go outside, Ida whispered.
Nance, who had still been staring up at the ceiling, stopped short.
Yes, she did. I'll double check with Violet, but I don't see any surveillance cameras down here, so we have no way of verifying whether she left her room or not.
That's right, Ida added, which means either Gustav was mistaken as to who he saw, or one of them is lying.